Good morning. Thank you for coming out this morning. We are indeed very thankful and grateful to all those that are visiting with us. It is a pleasure, as always, to stand before you. It is an honor to open the Lamb's Book of Life and to share with you God's Word. We continue to offer our condolences and our sympathies to Brother Billy and the rest of the family. I pray that today's lessons, the one that you heard earlier today, the Bible studies, and what you'll hear this morning or this lesson, will be one that will provide you comfort, for there is no greater comfort in times of loss and grieving than from singing praises to God, praying, studying from God's Word, and being surrounded by Christians of like faith who share the hope of everlasting life. We love you. This morning's lesson comes from two main scriptures. One is from Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, which we'll get to that shortly. And another one from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. The song that was just led, Blessed Assurance, by one of our very capable song leaders, really brings a lot of comfort to us if indeed we have blessed assurance. Blessed assurance of heaven. The Apostle John, in his little letter, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." I want you to contemplate on those words that the apostle wrote. "These things I have written to you." I have written to those who believe in the Son of God. For what purpose did he write these things? So that you may know. So that you can have the certainty without any doubt at all that you have life eternal. One of my main reasons for preaching this lesson is because I have had many discussions with brethren on this topic. When I have asked them, do you have the confident expectation that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? And the number one response, as if it was Family Feud, is, well, I have the hope of heaven. Now, what I know, what I understand by the phrase, I have the hope of heaven, is this. I think I'm going to heaven. I'm not too sure, but I think I will. Because the way we use in our modern English vernacular the word hope is not the way the Bible uses hope. The way the Bible uses hope is as we would use the word anchor, assurance, security, confidence. But the way we use hope is, you know, I hope I get the gift I've been wanting for my birthday or Christmas or whatever. But I'm not too sure if I'm going to get it. But the way the Apostle John is using the word hope here is the confident, I have it, it is mine for sure, 100%, I ain't going to lose it, it's mine. Salvation. And that's why I feel the necessity that we talk about this topic. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks in reference to this as well. But he brings in another person of the Godhood into this topic. When he says, in him that is in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, that is, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, notice this, you were sealed. Now that's a very important word. You were sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I want you to really pay attention to the very important message that the apostle is sharing with us here. After having listened to the message, that is, the gospel that saves you, and having believed it, that is, having obeyed it, we have been sealed with Christ and the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, notice this, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. And if you want to be owned by someone, you need to want to be owned by God to the praise of His glory. Now, in the Good News translation, notice what it says in this translation. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ and God put His stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit He had promised. The Spirit is a guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised His people. And this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are His, and let us praise His glory. Now, this seal or stamp of ownership business is the same Greek words that are used when someone proposes to the woman that he wants to marry and places a ring of engagement. And that's exactly what God has done to those who have heard the gospel message of salvation and has believed it, has obeyed it. God has placed the ring of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, as an assurance of His salvation, of going to heaven, of His eternal redemption. So if the Father has given me the third person of the Godhead as my assurance, as my engagement ring, as my guarantee, as my down payment, as another translation says, as the deposit of my entrance into heaven, then that is blessed assurance. And you should say, amen. Now, there's a problem with this blessed assurance idea that many Christians have. Some doubt that they'll go to heaven even after having obeyed the gospel. Even after having heard the message that Christ is the Son of God, confessing it with their mouths and making up their minds to live in obedience to His Word, and having put on Christ through baptism, Galatians 3:27, and living a Christian life, they dealt with this idea, this concept of assurance. And one of the reasons that folks doubt is because they struggle with sin. The person says, well, I continue to make mistakes. I'm not perfect. Well, God never called us to live perfect. In the Old Testament, folks couldn't live perfect, couldn't keep the law perfectly. And this is why we're told in the New Testament that the blood of bulls and goats was not enough to remove, to take away sins. And therefore we needed the blood of Jesus Christ. And some folks have this idea that I just don't know of all the sins and mistakes that I've made. I'm not conscious of all my mistakes. So if I die, I have to die with the prayer on my lips. Or else I'll be damned to hell. Well, still others believe that every sin must be known and confessed, or else they'll die and be damned to hell. But what does the Scripture say? Now, assurance does not come from our emotions. You know, some people believe that I feel that I'm saved, I feel that I'm okay. But Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says that there's a way which seems right to man, but its end is a way of death. There's a lot of people in this world, a lot of religious people in this world, they have no knowledge of Scripture, no knowledge of God's Word, or very little. And their emotions control their thoughts. And they feel that they're right with God, but the Scripture says your feelings and our emotions aren't going to save us. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? My wife's Colombian accent almost got the better of me there. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? This is why whenever young folks say to me that they want to get married, I say, look deep before you leap. Because the heart is very deceitful. And others believe that if they have a perfect knowledge of God's Word, if they read the Scripture from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation and Revelation to Genesis, and make a stop between Malachi and Matthew and write a dissertation, then if they have this perfect knowledge and know Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and study at a theological seminary, that then they can be assured of their salvation. Well, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that's not necessarily so. Notice in verse 18, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying is that as a Christian, we grow every day in grace and in knowledge. We don't know it all. We'll never know it all. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter, one who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he himself confessed in verse 16, in the writings of the Apostle Paul, he says in reference to Paul, also in all his letters speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. Peter says, you know, Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand. Read Romans if you don't believe that. So a perfect knowledge of the Scripture won't bring us salvation. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, perfect obedience to God's Word won't bring us assurance of salvation either. Notice in Romans chapter 3, you know why perfect obedience won't bring us salvation either? Because no one can perfectly obey God's Word. What then, are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not even one. Verse 23, for all have sinned, and this is a perfect progressive term. All have sinned, all continue to sin, and fall short of the glory of God. In 1 John 1 and verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So no one can keep God's word perfectly. So assurance doesn't come from trying to keep God's word perfectly either. Neither does assurance come from trying to do good works. You know, Jesus said in the last day, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these good things in your name, like cast out demons, feed the hungry, and do those things? He'll say, depart from me, for I not knew you, for I do not know you. You didn't do the will of my Father who is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, notice how that begins in verse 16. Here comes this young ruler and says, Lord or Master, what good thing shall I do? What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? You don't do anything to inherit it. There's nothing that we can do to earn eternal life. That's not the way it works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace through faith is how we're saved. Not by works. Not that of yourselves. Because it is the free gift of God. And yes, I threw in the word free because there is no other gift if it's not free. Verse 9, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So where does this blessed assurance come from? Where does this assurance that I am saved and that if I was to die today, I would go to heaven, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Ephesians chapter 1 to begin with. Being in Christ. We're not going to read Ephesians chapter 1, but I want to illustrate something interesting there in Ephesians chapter 1, and you can't see it probably. But if you were to open Ephesians, or open to Ephesians chapter 1, here's an exercise I'd like for you to do on your own time. Underline, highlight, or circle every time the phrase "in Him" appears. And you'll be surprised how many times the phrase "in Him" shows up. In Christ or in Him. Our assurance comes from being in Christ. Being placed in Him. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, telling him that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And that salvation is in Christ. And even tells them how to be in Christ. Paul says to the young preacher in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Where is salvation? In Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. We get into Christ through the obedience of the gospel. And Galatians 3 and verse 27 is very explicit in telling us how we put on Christ. That is through baptism. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9. Our assurance comes by walking in Christ, by walking in the light. See what John says in one of his little letters, in 1 John 1, verse 7. But if, and it's a very conditional, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light does not mean that we are sinlessness, but it does mean that he cleanses us and that we have fellowship with him, that we are in communion with Christ, and that through that light, or because we walk in that light, and Jesus is the light, and we have fellowship with him, and we commune with him, we can have the confident assurance that he makes provision for those secret or unknown sins. And the secret sins are not the sins that I do in secret and try to hide them from God, but those sins that I commit and that I am unaware of. Psalm 19, verse 12. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Brethren, if you are in Jesus, living your best to please Jesus, possessing a humble spirit that repents when you occasionally stumble, then the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Spirit in 2 Peter 1 verse 10, tells us that our entrance into heaven is ours. It is assuredly ours. There is no doubt about that. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior will be abundantly supplied to you. Now notice the last few words. Will be abundantly supplied to you. That means there will be no shortcoming when it comes to the entrance into heaven. However, turn, if you will, to one final passage, 2 Thessalonians 1. However, if we are not in Jesus, if we are rebellious to the gospel call of salvation, we don't walk in the light. If we don't obey the gospel of salvation, if we're not committed to pleasing Jesus, then we also have an assurance. And it's not an assurance to go to heaven. It's an assurance to go to hell. And that's what the Apostle Paul also says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now when the apostles came back together after Jesus resurrected, and he gave them the great commission to go into all the world and preach the saving gospel to all people, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teach them all the other things that Jesus had taught them. Then Jesus left and went into heaven. And then in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus does go into heaven, they're looking up. Someone says to these apostles, "Why are you looking up? Just as you have seen him leave, he will assuredly come back." So if it so happens that we die in Christ, faithful to him, walking in the light, we have the blessed assurance of going to heaven. And if it so happens that we are alive, walking in the light, in Christ, when the Lord comes back, the Apostle Paul teaches that we will be taken up to meet Him in the sky. Either way, what a blessed assurance. If you're not a Christian today, I beg and plead with you, become a Christian so that you can have the blessed assurance. Why wait when today is a day of salvation? Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and put on Christ today as together we stand and sing.